Okay, let's get into the Word of God. Are you ready for the Word of God today? Okay, like I told you, I don't want you to miss out on what some of those Akron guys enjoyed last week. There was just a handful of them there, but boy, was that a blast. All right, so I'm going to, and then, of course, most of you too missed out our Cleveland service. I think some of you may have joined us online, but really a lot of people were not here for the Cleveland service last Sunday. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to do a short 5-minute recap from that Akron message. I'm going to do a short 5-minute recap from the Cleveland message last Sunday, and then I'm going to get into this new material. This material that I have today that I really want to get into is the latter part of our series on wisdom. And what is this series called? It's called I Need the Wisdom of God. But this part of it, I'm actually addressing how to get wisdom. How do we get this wisdom? It's important to know the power of wisdom, to know what wisdom does, to know all the different things, to know the characteristics of people who walk in wisdom, blah, 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 blah. But how do we get this wisdom? And actually, if I put it better, how can we grow in wisdom? Because you already have, every Christian, and I'll show you that in just a couple of minutes here, every believer, everyone born again, every child of God, you already have the seed of the wisdom of God inside of you. But the question is, how do we grow in the wisdom of God? Amen? And I want to, I have quite a lot of material in that regard. I don't have too much time, so I'm going to do my best and try to cut it as much as I can and give you little bits and pieces as I go along. But it will bless you immensely. Because one of the things that really does make a major difference between the fruits that we are all able to accomplish in our lives is how much wisdom we're able to walk in. And yes, all of us have a measure and a portion of God's wisdom, but God wants us to grow in wisdom. It is essential that we grow in wisdom. And I'll share a few of those very pertinent things with you in just a minute. All right, which one should we do first? Let's do the Akron 5-minute recap first. So go there and look with me. The scripture was Mark chapter 6, and I think it was verse 2 and 3. Mark chapter 6 and verse 2 and 3. Glory be to God. Somebody say, I need the wisdom of God. Now take it by faith. Say, I have the wisdom of God. And I am growing in the wisdom of God. Actually, make it a strong confession of faith. Say, I'm a man of wisdom. Now, if you're a woman, don't say I'm a man. If you're a woman, say I'm a woman of wisdom. All right, glory be to God. I'm teaching you how to receive wisdom now. Amen. You know, there's some things you go through in life, and when you go through those things, you know, you might be nonplussed. A lot of people go through situations, maybe like a doctor, how to respond to this medical situation. You have to make a decision. And this is very important. Your life, whatever you do affects your life. Or maybe some financial decision, maybe some relationship decision, or maybe some career decision and things like that. And sometimes I tell you, when we approach the issues of life that we all confront, actually, people have told me some things over the years, and just in the natural, when I hear those things first, I'm kind of like rattled, because it's like, oh God, we need the wisdom of God for this. You know, some things you deal with. I mean, without getting too explicit, if for instance your doctor tells you have to make a decision between getting a surgery and getting some sort of other way to address a life-threatening situation that you have, you better not be going on the internet to try to find out what you want to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know where you find the answer to that? It's in the wisdom of God. It's in the wisdom of God. You better be, at that moment, you better be saying, oh God, I thank you, Lord, I receive the wisdom of God. I receive the wisdom of God. Growing in wisdom is extremely essential. And I trust God that all of us will continue to take radical steps as we mount up in the wisdom of God. All right, where did I have you? Mark chapter 6, look at that. My introduction already took the 5 minutes that I had for Akron Recap. All right. Go to Mark chapter 6. Let me read from verse 1. He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand?" Let me jump ahead of myself since I don't have too much time. Notice how the wisdom of God works hand in hand with the power of God. The demonstration of the power of God works hand in hand with the wisdom of God. The more wisdom you have, the more power you would experience. Now, power may seem like this deep spiritual word. Let me break it down. The power of God is actually transmitted to believers in so many diverse ways. Like, for instance, what is responsible for open doors that God gives us is the power of God. What is responsible for resolution of difficult issues that we all experience is the power of God. What is responsible for, like, a new opportunity that we all desire is the power of God. What is responsible for healing in our bodies is the... Do you know, sometimes, just by operating in the wisdom, I think I said this in one of the earlier services, talking about the wisdom of God. Sometimes, just taking something out of your diet, do you know, sometimes just removing something out of your diet can prolong your life. Do you know that? So what you call living a long and a fruitful life, that's the power of God you're experiencing, but even that is connected with the wisdom of God. Amen. All right, let's get back here. Did I have 5 minutes for the recap? I had 5 minutes, right? I've used one of my minutes. All right. I've used one of my minutes. Glory to God. Just get it. Just relax and get whatever the Lord has for you out of this, because this is very powerful. So he says, such mighty works were wrought by his hands. And then they said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James? And they started listing all, you know, the members of his family, his siblings. Now watch this now. He said, are not his sisters here with us? Doesn't he say, no, his sisters. Like, man, isn't this the brother of Shanene? Isn't this the guy that used to walk on the street with Shanene? How come? Where did he get all this wisdom from? Hallelujah. Listen, regardless of what your natural roots are, the wisdom of God will distinguish you. The wisdom of God will distinguish you. The wisdom of God can make it difficult to actually recognize you. You can operate at a level of the wisdom of God in such a way. Have you heard that expression? I used that expression here last week. They say he has wisdom beyond his years. Where'd he get it from? So the wisdom of God can sometimes even make it difficult for people in the natural to recognize you. All right. Now notice the last part of it. It says, and they were offended at him. You know what? I got to read this in the Amplified. Read this with me in the Amplified. I'm going to read from verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and listed all, and are not his sisters here among us? Watch this. And they took offense at him, watch this, and they were hurt. That is, listen, they disapproved of him, watch this, and it hindered them from acknowledging his authority, watch this, and they were caused to stumble and fall. This is really deep. If we fail to embrace the wisdom of God in our lives, we sometimes actually separate ourselves from the operation of God's power in our lives. Now, what Jesus said was true. He said, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, blah, 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 da, 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 and all of that. And then he says in the last verse, he was not able to do even one work of power there. But notice that the root of this was they separated themselves from the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is what actually enables us to lay hold. Remember, those of you who are here in the Cleveland service, wisdom is a person, is the spirit, is the spirit of God. There's something called the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of knowledge and understanding. So he's a person. But in separating themselves from the wisdom of God, they actually also separated themselves from the power of God. And the Bible says they took offense at him. And the Bible says they were caused to stumble and to fall. And ultimately, Jesus could not do even one walk. He said, even one walk. Can you imagine? He came from a place in Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 5, where he was demonstrating mighty works of power. And suddenly, he came to Mark chapter 6, and they turned the faucet off. And how did they turn the faucet off? By separating themselves from the wisdom of God. They looked at him in the natural. The Bible says they looked at him. They started saying, don't we know him? Don't we know him, Shenene? I mean, this is the guy. Hey, Shenene, if you're online today, just send me a blessing. Send me a seed, because I'm prophesying to you today. I don't think there's a Shenene in our church, but I don't know where that name just kind of came. I don't know. I don't know. Is anybody pregnant? Name your next child Shenene. That's the next anointed name. Glory to God. All right. So now, let me give you those points that I gave them last week. The wisdom of God is expressed in words and action. You can always tell a person of wisdom by their words and by their actions. It's very easy. You can tell if someone is a person of wisdom by their words and by their actions. You can also tell if someone lacks wisdom by their words and their actions. Do you know, it's not so much as in our biological ages. I know the older we grow, the more wisdom we have. But I've used this example. It may have been here last week, I'm not sure. Do you know there are some times when children actually say to their parents, Mom, Dad, but have you thought about this? So then why are you doing that? Right? Do you know why those children say stuff like that? It's because they know this is not wisdom. Mom, Dad, this is not wisdom. Why are you doing this, Mom? Why are you doing this, Dad? And then guess what? The parents back up. They're like, yeah, that's true. Right, why am I doing this? You know, put the gear in reverse and turn around and go do what you were supposed to do, because your child, this happened to me. See, we preach a lot of these things from our experiences. It happened to me. I remember several years ago, our daughter Christine was just six. I think she was just about six then, six and a half, seven, I'm not sure. At the time, we lived in England. It was five. We lived in England. I was going to minister in a church in London, but we lived in a city called Reading, southeast of London. So it was supposed to be 45 minutes to one hour drive. And unfortunately, I had to go through this particular town. This time, there's no way, if you want to get there quick, you bypass some parts of the motorway. You have to go through this town. And this town, unfortunately, you have to know the routes. Now, these were not the days of GPS. These were the days when we printed out, you remember? When you had to print out MapQuest. How many people remember this? Yeah. How many people are old enough to remember this stuff? I mean, now you just get in your car, and you put the address and go, turn right, turn left. I mean, you can arrive, you can get to Hawaii right now, closing your eyes and just driving and just, now you can't get to Hawaii because there's no road, but I mean anywhere in this continental United States, right? Just by following that device. But back then, the way, and I think it was even really worse in England because, you know, so then, you know, if you are driving, you put that thing, that direction thing on your passenger seat, and as you are going, you are looking now. If you are going on this long freeway, it's easy because you know, well, I have so many miles before I have to make a turn or whatever. But if you are going through this particular town, this town was, woo. So I had to go through this town, and I kept going around, and I'll pick the map, the thing. I keep looking. I put it down, and I'll, you know. And you know what? I was going to minister. I had a time. I was supposed to be preaching in that church. And boy, at a point, I got so frustrated. I got so frustrated. But I didn't know what to do, so I just kept going. I pick it. I keep going. And after a while, Christine was sitting in the back seat. She said, "Dad," because you know you don't want to hear anything at that time. I'm dripping in sweat. I'm upset. I'm angry. And I'm going to preach. I'm trying to keep the anointing. And at the same time, I was fighting this frustration. And the last thing I want to hear is anybody talking to me at that point. "Dad," I said, "Yes." I said, "Haven't we been through this particular place like 3 different times?" And I said, "Shut up." I said, "Shut up." I said, "Shut up, like, seriously? You think I don't know that I've been through here 3 different times already? I need you to tell me that. What I need someone to tell me is how to get out of this mess and get to where I'm going." Glory to God. Yeah, so sometimes children, you know, "Mom, Dad, why are you doing this? This is not smart." You know, and then, you know, parents go, "Yeah, I guess you're right." Amen. So wisdom, the wisdom of God, is expressed in words and action. Then the wisdom of God works hand in hand with the power of God. I've already said that. The wisdom of God will distinguish you in such a way that it will be difficult for people to recognize you. I've said that already. Amen. Now, we talked a lot about Joseph. I really love the story of Joseph, but I can't take you there because my time is almost up here. The wisdom of God will bring you out of distress and promote you. The wisdom of God will bring you out of distress and promote you. So it is important as a child of God that you prioritize the wisdom of God. Put more value on the wisdom of God than anything else in your life. Now, this is powerful, and I think I said that here on Sunday as well. No spiritual force, and we read that, from Stephen. Because the Bible says Stephen was speaking, and the people could not resist the wisdom with which he spoke. And I said this, no spiritual force or human force can withstand the force of the wisdom of God. No spiritual force or human force can withstand the force of the wisdom of God. When the wisdom of God is at work, it's impossible to stop it. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. All right. Then I said a couple more things. When you lack, now I told you I'm giving you just a 5 minutes recap here. When you lack the wisdom of God, you limit the power of God in your life. When you lack the wisdom of God, you are quick to take offense. You notice in that scripture, it says they were offended at him because they lacked the wisdom of God. When you lack the wisdom of God, you are quick to take offense. It says the people were offended at Jesus because they could not understand the wisdom he had, and that hindered the power of God in their lives. And the last thing I said there was actually where I started my message here last Sunday. The wisdom of God is strategy for winning the battles of life. The wisdom of God is strategy for winning the battles of life. All right, I hope you got something out of that. Whatever you did, praise God. Now, 3-minute recap of what I ministered here on wisdom last Sunday here in the Cleveland Church. We went through some of our different definitions of wisdom. Wisdom is comprehensive insight into the ways and the purposes of God. Wisdom is knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. Hallelujah. Wisdom is knowing how to get out of the maze. When you think you've been going around and around and the GPS is not helping you, wisdom will show you the way out. Wisdom is knowing the best means to the best ends. Knowing the best means to the best ends. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Wisdom is strategy. Now, that's where, I think that's kind of where I dwelt on a lot last week. Wisdom is strategy for winning. Now, I did say the strategy of God's wisdom always involves four things. I really hope that some of these messages, you get them for yourself because they can help you. They can make a difference between whether you succeed or whether you fail. The word of God is so powerful. Many times people talk to me about, oh, I'm going to go see a psychologist. And I think, glory to God, that's awesome. I mean, I love psychologists. I mean, I think ED wants to be a psychologist, he said. I do love psychologists. But I'm going to tell you this. You can get more wisdom from the word of God than you can get in 10 hours from a psychologist. You can get more wisdom. That's not to knock the profession. The profession is great. And praise God, you know, they have steps and they teach us and they tell us to do this. And I mean, there are things they know that we don't. But just by walking in the word of God, in the wisdom of God a lot of times, you can gain access to more instruction than you can get in a 10-hour session from a psychologist. Why? Because a lot of the origin of the wisdom that the psychologist is giving is from the word of God. Is from the word of God. I know that one of the examples that I used for this in the Akron service earlier today was talking about, you know, when the Bible says, you know what, I'm going to get to it later because it's a part of my teaching for this morning. Wisdom always works hand in hand with peace. So generally, one of the big advantages of sitting with a psychologist, for instance, if you have marital problems and you're trying to solve them, is a psychologist helps to broker peace. It's almost like they mediate. Now, when they create that environment of peace in that session, generally, it's easier for you to look at things and see things and understand things slightly differently from how you would have done if you were angry. Do you know that? Do you know that you can see more when you are not really emotional? You can see more than you can see when you are not emotional. Do you know that when you are not overly taken over by what you think and how you feel. Many times people say, I feel it hurt me. I feel she did. Do you know, many times you can't even receive the wisdom of God. You can't even understand. Okay, God wants you to make it right, but you can't even receive it. Why? Because you are so angry. One of the things the psychologist helps you do is to lay aside your anger. The psychologist helps you to subdue that anger. In subduing your anger, though, it's easy for wisdom to be channeled into your life. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you know all of that is in the Word of God? If you have, for instance, if you and your spouse just had a bad argument, if you and your spouse just had a terrible argument and you are so upset and you are so emotionally perturbed, the word of God tells you, don't try to resolve your problem then. It tells you, seek peace first. Some say, but the only way I'm going to get peace is that I give him a piece of my mind. No, that's not true. Peace comes from God. The Bible says in Psalm 86, the Lord will speak peace to his people. Peace comes from God. You don't get peace by talking. No. So many times we actually turn that thing, we reverse the order of life. We think we get peace by talking so we can move forward in our relationship. But actually, a lot of times, no. You get peace from God, then once there is peace in your heart, now you are ready to talk. Because when you talk and you have the peace of God in your heart, the things you say will be couched in grace. you are more likely to say the right things and to say them the proper way when the peace of God is in your heart than you are to say them when you are really upset and just angry. So yeah, you can go spend $10,000 with the psychologist. But the word of God has the answers. Oh man, I'm preaching better than you guys are receiving this today. Glory be to God. So I'll come back to that later. I want to show you, actually, you can't even grow in wisdom without peace. It's a prerequisite. It's wisdom is a seed. The seed of wisdom is sown in every believer's life. Please put up for me if I have someone helping me back there. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look at that. It says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom." The very first thing Christ is made to you, every believer, is wisdom. When you receive Christ into your life, you receive wisdom. "Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you wisdom." And then he goes on to other things, sanctification, redemption, righteousness. But he says Christ is made to us wisdom. So every believer has the seed of wisdom in their lives. How does this wisdom grow? How does every seed grow? Every seed grows when we plant that viable, if it's a viable seed, every seed grows when we plant the viable seed in the right environment. So the type of soil that a corn seed needs to grow is different from the type of soil that a guava seed needs to grow. It's different from the type of soil that a papaya seed needs to grow. But when you put that viable seed in the right environment, it grows. What is the required environment for the seed of wisdom to grow? Two things. Number one, peace. And number two, edification. I'll show you that in the Bible. If you're back there, help me. Put up for me Acts chapter 9, and I think it's verse 31. And give that to me in the Amplified Version, please. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. And put that up in the Amplified Version, please. Listen to this now. Watch this. It says, "So the church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria," watch this, "had peace and was edified, growing in wisdom." Watch this again. "The church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was edified, growing in wisdom." What are the two requirements for the seed of wisdom to grow in the life of a believer? Peace and edification. What is peace? Peace is the state of being, the state of mind that is at rest and in harmony. That's why a lot of times, many of us miss out on the wisdom of God because we allow the enemy to unsettle us and rattle us emotionally by making us agitated and aggravated over situations. And then there's some wisdom the Lord wants to give you in that situation, but you can't get it. And the reason you can't get it is not because that wisdom is not available. Have you heard of instances where they talk about people making the wrong decisions because I just have to do something. I just have to do something. And then in aggravation and trying to do something, they do the wrong thing and they don't have the wisdom of God. So in order for you to constantly, now notice this now. If you want to grow in the wisdom of God, you are going to have to make room in your life for those two ingredients. These two ingredients, think about this. I've already shown you from the Word of God, you have the seed of the wisdom of God. Where did that seed come from? It came from you receiving Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. The moment you receive Christ, you receive many other things. Part of the blessing of redemption in Christ is you received the wisdom of God. But God doesn't just want us to have just a little bit of the seed of the wisdom of God. God wants us to grow in wisdom. Do you know if you just make it a goal in 2019 to grow in the wisdom of God, your life can be totally different? By the end of 2019, your life can be total. You could start out 2019 from here, and by the time 2019 ends, you could find yourself all the way up here just because you have grown in the wisdom of God. How do we grow in the wisdom of God? You put it in the right environment. That's the first thing. There's seven things I'll tell you over the next couple of weeks. But first prerequisite for growing in the wisdom of God, you have to put it in the right environment. What is the right environment for the wisdom of God? Peace and edification. Edification sounds like a big word, but what is edification? Edification simply means, the word edify means to build up. The word edify means to build up. What is the opposite of building up? Tearing down. The wisdom of God is very easily channeled into your life when your priority is to build up. Whenever your priority is to build up. So, let's go back to the spousal relationship, husband and wife in relationship. If in your relationship and the different things you do, if your goal is to build up and not to tear down, God will constantly supply the wisdom of God into your life and you will grow in wisdom. You will know the right steps to take to get to the best end that God has for you. You will have comprehensive insight into the ways of God. You will know how to make the right decisions. You will know how to say the right things. You will know how to take the right steps. Why? Because the wisdom of God will be available for you. Amen. So, to edify means to prioritize building up. So, now, this is what I had them do in the Akron Church. I want you to do it too. So the church throughout the whole of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was edified, growing in wisdom. What I want you to do, where it says the church, I want you to put your name there. And I want you to read that with your name. And where it says throughout the whole of Judea, Galilee, I want you to say in Cleveland, wherever, you know, because you don't live in Judea or Galilee. Then I want you to say, had peace, was edified, and grew in wisdom. Can we do that? It's a very simple exercise. Very simple exercise of faith. Can you do that? Let's do that together. 2, 3, go. So, Kayode, living in Cleveland, had peace, was edified, and he grew in the wisdom of God. Now, I want you to remember that throughout this year. Whenever you feel you lack wisdom, whenever you feel you are running up against the wall and you don't know how to advance beyond that, you don't know how to maybe resolve some of the things that you confront in life. You don't know how to deal with some of the difficulties that come against you, and you go, oh, I need the wisdom of God for this. Immediately remind yourself, all right, put your name there, wherever you live, say, they had peace, they were edified, and because of that, they grew in the wisdom of God. So, first step, is I have to have peace. Your first step is not trying to deal with the obstacle. Let's go back to the health situation that I talked about. Your first step, as serious as that situation is, should I get surgery or should I find an alternative way of dealing with this situation? Your first step is not getting under the pressure of what you've just been told. Your first step is not allowing yourself to become so pressurized by your natural circumstances. In fact, in one of those scriptures that I read earlier on this morning in the Akron service, but I'm sure I'll remember it later. It's somewhere, I think it might be somewhere in Isaiah, where it says that they that believe shall not make haste. Yeah, I'm going to find it because somewhere or the other that scripture came into my teaching there in the Akron church, but I don't have it right now. And it was one of the scriptures where I was teaching on the wisdom of God. So one of the first things you do, so you don't make that decision in a hurry. Thank you. Isaiah 28, 16. Let's read that together. Isaiah 28, 16. There's actually a scripture that follows that I think I alluded to them, but my eye caught this particular one. I hope it's the right one. Isaiah 28, 16. The latter part. All right. Okay. Yeah, I see that. Okay. So thank you for that. That's not the particular scripture I was reading. No, I'll find it for the next time I come and I'll bring that to you because that scripture was directly connected with the wisdom of God. So your first step in trying to get the wisdom of God is to get rid of the pressure. Got to get rid of the pressure. You can't find the wisdom of God when you are aggravated in your heart. You can't. You can't find the wisdom of God when you are upset. Amen. There's a scripture somewhere where it says the wrath of man does not work or produce the righteousness of God. You can't find the wisdom of God when that pressure has consumed you so much. And what is this pressure? Is first of all, you are thinking the fear of dying. Because you have to make a decision, and you know this determines what happens to your life. So it's that fear of dying or losing, or that fear of stumbling, or the fear of anything else that creates a pressure within you. You've got to let that go. And then get the peace of God within your heart. So let's get back to the relationship issue. I've had spouses say, well, if we just talk about this, let's just talk about it, because if we just talk about this, then we can have peace. No, actually, that's not true. It's not true that by talking about a situation, you can have peace. No, no, no. Peace comes from God. And actually, what needs to happen is, you need to get the peace of God first. Don't you be trying to solve any problem in life. Don't be trying to make any steps or any advance or any deal with any situation in life until you have the peace of God in your heart first. In that conflict, until both of you actually have peace, your talking is just empty words. You're just talking across one another. And that's really not the goal of communication. What is the goal of communication? The goal of communication is that we can talk about something and we can come to a resolution and advance. That's the goal. So if you don't advance, you don't come to a resolution and advance, then you have not achieved your goal in communicating. So one of the keys, one of the requirements for wisdom, peace, And of course, edification. I've told you what edification is. Edification is seeking to build up. The reason majority of people in our world today don't have wisdom is because they are not focused on building others up. They are focused on building themselves up. The reason most people in our generation today do not have the wisdom of God. I talked to you last week about just reading one chapter a day in Proverbs can elevate you in wisdom. Just take one day, because there's 31 chapters of in Proverbs. Just take one chapter of Proverbs every day and read. You'll be amazed that in just the things you read every day, just even if you don't remember everything, just make notes, make scribble like I do on my Bible. Just write stuff there and then go back and look at it. You'll be amazed. I think it was last night I read something about people who make a lot of money by charging excessive interest rates. I saw it in the Bible. The Bible said they are making that money for somebody else. And I don't know, that thing just caught my eye. I thought, Is it any wonder why a lot of financial institutions collapsed during the recession? A lot of, you know, that's something like, well, that, what is that? Well, that's the wisdom of God. That if you, even if you give a loan to someone to help somebody out, or you do something to help somebody out, do not take advantage of their situation. Amen. Because the Bible says, if you do, all of that will eventually amount to a hill of beans. You are not going to maintain, you are not going to be able to keep those things that you earn from that. That's just a loose side example from Proverbs. So back to edification. The reason a lot of people would you guys allow me to be a little carnal this morning, just for 2 minutes? Can I be carnal for 2 minutes? Can I be carnal for just about a couple of? Nobody's talking to me. Why is nobody talking to me? Are you guys hungry? You're thinking about your potluck. Is that what this is all about? Just your potluck. Just stop talking so we can. Listen, this can change your life. You're going to eat that potluck and then, you know, 3 hours later, poo, it's over. You won't even remember. But this can change your life. All right, I'm going to let you go to your potluck in just a couple of minutes. But can you just talk to me for a minute? Would you allow me to be carnal just for 2 minutes? Usually one of the main areas of my carnality when I get carnal is I talk about basketball. Can I be carnal for just 2 minutes? Absolutely. Now, there's one of the friends and one of the partners of our ministry out of state. I've not been able to talk. This thing has been in my heart. I've just been waiting because we have been fasting, right? So, like, well, I can't get into all this carnal stuff until we finish fasting. You know, this fast has to be over. The moment this fast is over, I have to get him, you know. This is a dear friend, dear brother. But, you know, usually he and I get into all these strong basketball conversations. And I think it was about a year ago or so, you know, Kyrie Irving. How many of you remember when Kyrie Irving left Cleveland, after he left Cleveland? You know, and then some of the stories started coming out and the things he said, the things he did. And I remember that. I may even have preached about it here. I'm not sure. Because I think some of the young people, one of the young guys, I think maybe may have accosted me, or maybe it was Edie who said, ha, 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 or whatever. You know, because these guys, this, you know, teenagers really love Kyrie because he's very skillful. You know, he's really good. But I remember saying something in my conversation with that brother, that friend of ours. I said, you know, in just a few years from now, he's going to find out he made some mistakes. I said, LeBron has his problem. See, I mean, you know, LeBron is LeBron. He has his problems. But as far as leadership, he wants to win. We know that. We all know that. He wants to make a name. He wants to win. But he has his issues. But we were talking about Kyrie because when they broke up, this brother was focusing on Kyrie and talking about, well, LeBron didn't let him become what he could have become. LeBron is too much, you know, it's too much of a light person. It's too much. Now, you may wonder, what does this have to do with the wisdom of God? Everything. 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 You see, in later services, when I start talking to you about how the steps you actually need to take to grow in wisdom. Now, so just a few weeks ago, some of you may have been following the news. 2 weeks ago, or whenever that was, he called LeBron. And they said he was calling LeBron to apologize to him for his immaturity when he was in Cleveland. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. They could have had much more success than they had when they had that team the way they had it built if they all had put the team before their individual selves. If they all did, they could have had more success. But one of the biggest antagonisms to wisdom and to advancing and making progress in life is if you focus too much on yourself, you lose your ability to enjoy the levels of wisdom that God has for you. Personally, when that situation happened, and I think I preached on it here, I'm not sure who it was. I know one of these guys, it may have been Zay, or I don't think it was Julius, because Julius doesn't talk much. Well, at least not to me. It may have been Edie who translated to me what he thought, you know. He thought, you were harsh on Kyrie. And no. I said, No, I wasn't harsh on Kyrie. I said, he was immature. Now, we all knew how skillful he was. You know how skillful Kyrie is? Extremely skillful. And the thing, though, is skill can only take you so far. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, will take you to places where skill can't take you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I told you, because we've been fasting, I've not been able to call my friend. You know, he sent me a message last week. I'm not going to get into this. No, we're fasting. We're fasting and praying. I'm going to keep my eye on the ball. I'm not, no. I'm not talking about Kyrie Irving, because when I start talking about it, some of you, you've heard me do that on the pulpit. My blood, because I really, one of the reasons I hate breakups is because potentials diminish across the board. Across the board. Whether it's breakup in marriage, whether it's breakup in business, whether it's breakup in sports, whether it's breakup in anywhere, breakups diminish potential. And I know that when they had that breakup, my blood boiled. I was upset. And I just wish somebody could have. But at that time, you know, I think he was too young. And no matter what you said, it was like, no, he wants a team where he can be the man. Listen, there's more to life than being just the man. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's more to life than having your name on the neon sign. You can have your name on the neon sign and whatever, and you may not accomplish the ultimate goal of God for your life. This is one of the reasons why God has us in a place of learning and growing and in a place of increasing in the wisdom of God. I think part of what happened to Kyrie, even though it's a little late in the day now, which I was glad really that he called LeBron, because I understand that this was after one of their games. Some of you guys know the story more than I do. But I understand that after one of their games, he was really frustrated with the young guys on his team, and this, you know, and I understand the reporter said he sat at his locker long after everybody had gone, held his head in his hand, and he said he needed to call LeBron. And he said to LeBron, "I'm sorry, because I didn't realize that what you were trying to do was for our team. I feel like these guys now that I'm trying to lead, and I'm having a tough time, a hard time with making them sacrifice for our team. I feel like I was that guy when we were in our team in Cleveland." I thought, yeah, of course you were that guy. Are you kidding me? I mean, you don't have to pay me $10,000 as a psychologist. If he had consulted with me, if he had gotten my phone number and called me, hey, man, I understand, you know, you're one of these crazy pastors, blah, blah, blah. I understand you have access to the wisdom of God. This is what I'm dealing with. Can you, you know, give me some inspiration here? I would have very easily told him, you need the wisdom of God, man. You need to take the attention off of yourself. See, because what God wants to do is develop your potential. He wants to develop. This is the ripening of a fruit. When your fruit ripens, it's ready to be eaten. And it's victory and it's success all around. And wherever you go, you win more championships. But where you left, you would have won the max championships your team could have won. You'd have won. They didn't win the max they could have won in Cleveland. They did not win the max they could have won. I mean, just one superstar on the team last year, it was just LeBron on that team with all the other guys. I mean, they gave the Warriors a hard time in game one in Oakland. And that was a very easily winnable game. They could have won that game. Thank you for allowing me to be carnal. So let me close here. God wants us to grow in wisdom. So I have a full note here. I think I'm going to put it in one of my next books. I'm not going to read it out to you. Recently, someone told me, I don't know if this is true. If it's true, I pray it's not true. If it's true, you know, that's another additional prayer point for our president. But somebody told me recently that our president does not consult with his predecessors, Democrats and Republicans. I hope that is not true. I hope that is not. Mr. President, if you are online listening to me this morning, you got to grow in wisdom. One of the ways you grow in wisdom is you consult with those that have gone before you. You speak to those that are way ahead of you, not just those that are at your level or those that are behind you. Because you think you know it all, but nobody knows it all. No Democrat knows it all. No Republican knows it all. But by consulting with those that have gone ahead of you, who have sat in the Oval Office for years, you can glean wisdom from them that can help you move forward in your personal life and move this nation forward. Thank you for allowing me to be carnal. The wisdom of God is available to us. Just prioritize it in your life. And the wisdom of God will elevate you. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Did you receive that word today? Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. All right, stand to your feet. Thank you, children, for putting up with that long message. I know that was difficult for you, but your parents did a good job of keeping you in check. All right. Let's thank God. We're going to take communion together. Let's thank God for the wisdom of God. Let's receive more of that wisdom right now. go ahead and just thank God for the wisdom of God. Thank God for the wisdom of God. Lord, I want to grow in your wisdom. It's not enough what we have right now. It's not enough. It's not enough. Somebody has access to more than what we have right now. Somebody knows more than us. Somebody has more than us. Lord, I want to grow in the wisdom of God. Help me, Father. Help me to grow in the wisdom of God. Help me to grow in the wisdom of God. Are there things, definite steps that you know in your heart you can take to grow in the wisdom of God? Even just from this service this morning, just from this message today, as all over the place as this message was, maybe what you want to ask God for is the grace to be a peace-loving person. Because wisdom only grows in an environment of peace. Maybe what you want to pray this morning is that your words and your actions will line up with the wisdom of God. Maybe what you want to pray for this morning is that aspect of edification, taking the light off of yourself and putting it on others. God, give me the grace, because wisdom flows more when I seek to edify other people. Give me the grace, Lord, to seek to build other people up. Help me. Help me. And just take a minute and pray over your relationships. We've talked a bit about relationships this morning. Wisdom in your relationships. Wisdom in your career. Wisdom in your finances. Lord, help me. Help me connect with your wisdom. Help me grow in your wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Help me access more of your wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Now begin to thank God. Thank God that even in these few weeks of hearing about the wisdom of God, even in these few weeks of learning about the wisdom of God, there's still so much more to learn. But even in just these few weeks of learning about the wisdom of God, wisdom has already been imparted to you. Thank God for the wisdom that you have. Thank God for the wisdom that you have received. Thank God for direction and for instruction and for light and for understanding and grace that has been made available to you in this season. Thank God. Thank God for the wisdom of God. Thank God for the wisdom of God. Go ahead, come on, go ahead. Thank God for the wisdom of God. We bless your holy name, O God.